You know, I laugh, Corey, because it doesn't have to be small. You know, we say that when we're saying this small portion. God's okay with a large portion, too, if you want to give it. I mean, he's okay either way. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 19. We have been, over the last few weeks, going over this sermon series called Signs and talking about how we are to view and be men of Issachar. As you may or may not know, but in David's army, he had these men called the men of Issachar, which were men who could not only understand the signs of the time, but then also understand how to respond to those signs of those times. And with that as a baseline, as we're thinking about all of these things that are going on around us, I think it's important for us, as we read these signs of what is to come, we have to also be prepared to how do we respond to those things. We talked the first Sunday about false prophets and false teachers, and how do we recognize those, and what do we do, and how do we how should we judge ourselves even, and talking about how we should be known by our fruit and how we should be known by the things that the Lord is doing in our lives, and to be careful that we're not drawing the attention to us, but we're drawing the attention to him. And we talked last week about famines and persecution and earthquakes, and all of these things are on a rise. I mean, it doesn't take much to go through and see that the famine in the world around us is increasing exponentially, actually. In addition to that, so is persecution. Persecution of Christians and the church is increasing. Earthquakes are increasing. These are all signs that Jesus used for us, or warned us about in Matthew 24, about what is to come. But he says something interesting. He says, those are just the beginning of the signs. That is like the birth pains, and we talked about a little bit of that last week. Well, I don't know if you watch any news at all, you've probably seen this idea of the red heifers. You've probably heard about this. You've seen something on TV about this. You've heard about these things. You're going to have to, Kim, you're going to have to tell me the story afterwards, because that look you just gave him, there has to be a story behind there that I want to know about. So, but we have, I mean, honestly, all you got to do is open up. Even CNN recently did a news article on, I don't like CNN, I don't watch CNN, but it was very interesting to me to see how they did a news article on the red heifers. Now, some of you may understand a little bit about these, or maybe you know a lot. And then there's some of you in here going, well, what's the big deal about a red heifer? It's a cow, right? And that's okay. Because today what we're going to do is we're going to learn about what the red heifers are all about. Why this is such an important part. What are these signs? Now, a red heifer is a red cow. Now, but we have to understand that the red heifers that we're talking about are not just a normal red heifer cow. It's a little bit different. And so my Uncle Mike is here, and he will correct me on any agriculture issues that I talk about. I'll talk to you later. You can confirm with me about some of these things. But it's interesting, when we look at these red heifers are cows that are unblemished. We're going to read here a second in Numbers chapter 19 that talks about exactly what they need to be. But these are not like the cows that you see in the streets, or in the streets. If you're seeing a cow in the street, we're in the wrong place. You should have corrected me there, Uncle Mike, right there, right? Cows are in pastures, not streets, or they shouldn't be in streets. Let's just say that. Of course, we do live in we do live in Portage County, so some things do happen here. But the truth of the matter is that these are not just the Angus. They're not just the, I mean, a lot of people, listen, my extent of knowing cows are, do they give milk or do they give yummy food, right? That's pretty much my extent. So when I started researching this about red heifers, I had to do a little digging to find out exactly what was so special about these. But let's read Numbers chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and then we'll jump in begin. So Numbers chapter 19, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law that the Lord has commanded. Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer without defect, in which there is no blemish and on which a yoke has never come. And you shall give it to Eleazar the priest, and it shall be taken outside the camp and slaughtered before him." Now remember this, because this is important. "And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood toward the front of the tent of meeting 7 times. And the heifer shall be burned in his sight, its skin, its flesh, and its blood with its dung it shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them into the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterward he may come into the camp. But the priest shall be unclean until evening. The one who burns the heifer shall wash his clothes in water and bathe his body in water and shall be unclean until evening. And a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and deposit them outside the camp in a clean place, and they shall be kept for the water for impurity for the congregation of the people of Israel. It is a sin offering. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening, and this shall be a perpetual state for the people of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them." Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for just an amazing time of worship, but an amazing time of gathering together with you and hearing about the miracles that you are doing and that you do hear our prayers, Father. We thank you so much for all that you're doing in our midst. We thank you so much for the wisdom and intelligence that you bring to us through your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come to this place, open our minds, allow us to have the wisdom to understand even this verse, but all the verses that we read, Father. Give us that encouragement, that boldness to be the people that understand the signs of the times that we are living in, but knowing how to respond as well, Father. Lord, we glorify you, we honor you, we praise you, we lift you up high and mighty today, because that is the location and the place that you deserve to be at in everything that we do and say. Lord, may my words not be my own, but may they truly be your words today, Father, as we glorify you, honor you, and praise you through this message today. We ask you that you just help us today, be with us today, guide us and direct us in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we have to understand a few things. Now, the very first thing, if you're an astute Christian or astute reader or knowledge of the Bible, the very first thing that you should say to me is, why are we reading about a sacrifice when we live under the grace of Jesus Christ? Great question, fair question that you should ask. And I will tell you that this red heifer sacrifice that we're reading about has nothing to do with us as Christians in this place. Our sacrifice has already come. And we're going to read about, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, but our sacrifice has nothing to do with a red heifer. We do not have to grow a red heifer. We do not have to slaughter a red heifer. We do not have to take their ashes. We do not have to worry about being unclean or doing any of those things, because Jesus Christ was once and for all the only sacrifice that we ever needed. We don't have to worry about any of that stuff. That would be a great place for the church to just say amen.
Amen.
Because if you don't know, spend some time with Christy or others who raise animals and ask you how hard it is to raise a goat or a lamb to slaughter, or a cow to slaughter and do all of those things. It's not easy work, let me tell you. But the reason why we have to understand this is because this plays a huge role in the end times, in the times that are to come. This is one of the crucial steps that have to happen in order for us to see the ushering in of the end times that we read about in Ezekiel, Daniel, Revelations, Matthew, I could go on and on. All of the locations, all of these things that are talking about the end times will not and cannot happen until this process happens. When we read this, we understand that there is this something called the purification. See, the red heifer is sacrificed for the sins of the priest. Now, we're not talking about me as a pastor or Pastor Chaz or any other pastor here. We're talking about a Jewish priest. A Jewish priest who works with inside the temple, the Jewish temple. The only way that a Jewish priest can serve inside the temple is to have their sins purified. And the way that they're purified is the very Numbers chapter 19, 1 through 10 that we just read. This Old Testament sacrifice is for the Jewish priests. And we have to understand why this is so important for us today as Christians. In fact, this is not just important to us. Do you understand that this is important to the three largest religions in the world today? This is important to us as Christians. This is important to the Jewish people. And this is also important to the Muslims of the world too. And we're going to explain this in a moment. And I'm going to walk through a little bit of this. But this is, it's an integral part of each and every one of those. And so when we think and we hear about this red heifer, we have to understand why this is so important. The very first thing that you have to understand is that this is the one and only way that a priest can serve in the temple. In the Jewish temple, you cannot, as there are no priests that can serve in a Jewish temple unless they have been purified through the ashes of a red heifer. It must happen. What makes the red heifer so special? Well, there's a couple things that you have to understand, and Numbers 19 spells this out for us. Number one is that the red heifer used in sacrificing has to have no blemish. And when we talk about no blemish, we're talking about no cut, no sore, nothing, no blemish at all. That means they have to have been raised for a particular purpose. They have to have been raised to in the most utmost of care, meaning that whoever raised this cow would have The one who raised this red heifer would have had to had 24/7 care for this cow, because if you put animals out into a pasture, what happens? They fight, they get dirty, they brush up against a fence, they do something, blemishes come, scratches come, all of those things happen. That cow would have been considered not able to be used in the sacrifice. So no blemish. Number two, it can have never had a yoke, meaning it could have never been used for work. A yoke, everyone knows what a yoke is. A yoke is placed around a cow's head, and it usually pulls. It's part of the process of pulling equipment or whatever it's going to be used. But basically, this cow could have never been under a yoke, meaning not only just a yoke that you think of that you put over the head, but when you talk about a yoke, what it's talking about is it could not have been used for any work. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're a farmer, do you raise an animal that's not going to do any work? No, yeah, they're called pets, right? You don't, as a farmer, raise an animal not to do work. You raise animals to do work. That's the whole purpose. And so, never been used for work. The third one is that it has to be older than 2 years and not older than 4 years. Now, why? Well, here you have to understand, when we get back to number one and it says no blemish, the red heifer that's used in the purification of the Jewish priests has to have no blemish at all, which that means also not just spots and those types of things, but it's not allowed to have more than two hairs that are not red in color. Two hairs over the whole entire body. You know what happens to a red heifer after they go over the 4.5 year mark? They start to get gray hair like us. They start to get old, right? And listen, it's not just as simply as going down to the store and buying some dye to come in and wash that gray away. That doesn't work, right? It has to be pure. It has to be perfect. And so they're not allowed to have more than two. Oh, two is the limit of any color hair that's not red on the whole entire body. I'm talking from the tip of its nose to the tip of its tail and everywhere in between. It can only have two of those colors. The reason why it has to be between 2 years and 4 years is because after that time, they start to grow hairs of different colors. What is also special about this red heifer is that not in 2,000 years has there been one cow that matched these things. In 2,000 years, there hasn't been one red heifer that matches. And this isn't for a lack of trying. If you go back, actually the Jewish people have something called the Temple Institute, which is really, really, really interesting. If you want to learn a little bit more about the Jewish law, go and research the Jewish Temple Institute. It's very, very interesting. They have been trying for years to get red heifers that match these, and they have not been able to do this. They haven't been able to find any of these things until September of 2022. September of 2022, Chrissy, put your math teacher hat on, okay? September of 2022, there was 5 red heifers that the Jewish people from the Temple Institute were able to purchase in Texas from a farmer in Texas. They have since been moved to Jerusalem, and they now reside in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Christy, help me out here. If these red heifers were born about 6 months before September of 22, she's getting out her calculator. This is an easy one, Christy. You'll be able to do this. I can even do this math. 6 months before September is what? March. So March of 2022, these cows were born. That means they have 4 years before they are ready to be sacrificed. Up to 4 years. They came to Jerusalem in September of 2022. So that puts us, we are now in 2024. That means they are what now? 2 years old. They are able to be used in a sacrifice today. Now, out of the 5, one of them has been released or sent away because it was not. They found 5 discolored hairs on the cow's body. Could you imagine? You're going to find a lot more than just. Well, never mind. The truth of the matter is that there's never been, in 2,000 years, this is an amazing thought, in 2,000 years, there's never been any that matched this until September of 2022. And now there's 5. Well, 4. Now there's 4. Could you just fathom that for a moment? For 2,000 years, never have we done this. Now, part of this is because the Jewish Temple Institute has teamed up with a Texas farmer, and they have specifically been raising these types of cows for this reason. They've tried this in the past and it hasn't worked. This time it has worked. And so these cows are over there. Now, let's move on. What does this have to do? Why talk about the red heifers? Why talk about the sacrifice of the red heifers? Why talk about all of this stuff? Well, here's something very interesting. The red heifer will be used to usher in the building of the temple. Now, if you know anything about Jewish history, you know that the temple, which we're going to actually, let me jump over here and then we'll come back to there. 957 BC, King Solomon ushers in and welcomes the very first temple, the Jewish temple, 957 BC. King Solomon does this. He builds the temple, has the temple built. It is the place, the very first place that the Jewish people are able to not only come and serve God, but they feel like God is in that place. He is in the Holy of Holies. He's in the center of that place. It is where they would go to meet their God. That's in 957 BC. In 586 BC, some 400 some odd years, I'm not going to do the math, but the first temple was dismantled by King Nebuchadnezzar and the Jewish people are taken into captivity. This is all in your Bible, by the way, so if you don't read the Old Testament, this is what you're missing out on. This is important. It is why I will tell you that the Old Testament is as important to be read as the New Testament is too, because you learn about history, you learn about these types of things. 586, the first temple was dismantled. King Nebuchadnezzar takes captive of the Jewish people. And then what happens in 538 BC? The Jewish people return to their land. In 538, when the Jewish people returned to their land, they began some odd years later to build the second temple. That's in 520 BC. That is the story of Ezra and Nehemiah, two of my favorite books of the whole entire Bible, but especially the Old Testament. Ezra and Nehemiah, you would learn about so many things, but they had this mindset of, I'm going to rebuild this temple. And so in 520, they do this. They rebuild the second temple. In 70 AD, however, the second temple is destroyed by the Romans. 70 years after Christ is removed from this earth because of his rising into the clouds, the Romans come in and they destroy the temple. The temple is never rebuilt. It has never been rebuilt. From 70 AD till today, there has never been a Jewish temple. That means for almost 2,000 some odd years, the Jewish people have not been able to, in their mind, go and commune with their God. Because in order for Jewish people to commune with their God, they have to have a temple to do that. That's the important part. They serve their God. They still do services. They still have their own temples. But they cannot have a true temple where God can reside unless they have a temple. By the way, the only way they can have a temple is if a Jewish priest is sanctified to build that temple. And that sanctification can only start with a red heifer. And so in order for them to build a third temple, a red heifer has to be sacrificed and the ashes have to be used to purify the priest, who can then start holding other ritual sacrifices within a place that would cause a temple to be able to be built. This is such an important part to the Jewish people that they have been for years digging underneath the temple mounts in Jerusalem, looking for, and they specifically will take buckets of dirt. Now, think about this for a moment. In 70 AD, the temple was torn down. They believe that there was ashes of red heifers there. But the temple is completely destroyed, on fire, destroyed every stone, every brick, everything destroyed to the very ground, and it has been buried under the Temple Mount for many, many years. The Jewish people have for years been digging underneath the Temple Mount, taking buckets of dirt out, sifting all of that dirt and the rocks and all of those things out, and then taking each center of that dirt and sending it away to a lab to test to see if that perhaps there could be some ashes left over from a red heifer to help them install a priest who could then start this next process. Because they believed that red heifers, that as pure as what they needed, were no longer available in this world. It had been 2,000 years. And so now we have red heifers in Jerusalem. We have all of these things ready to go. Now here's the problem with this. The Dome of the Rock. Anyone know what the Dome of the Rock is? Yeah, if you know your end times theology, you should know what the Dome of the Rock is. The Dome of the Rock is the third most religious place for Muslims. There's somewhere around, the latest number we heard is 2 billion Muslims in the world. And they make a trek to the Dome of the Rock, oftentimes, to serve and to do. The Dome of the Rock is built on the very place where the temple in Jerusalem is supposed to be built. The temple, the Jewish temple, can only be built in the same place that the other temples were built. And in order for that to happen, they have to coexist or destroy the Dome of the Rock. Now, I don't know how many times, or how much of your current events you look at or how much you understand, but when you look at a Jewish person and a Muslim person, they don't coexist very well at all. And so in order for them to have the Dome of the Rock and also the third temple next to each other is a pretty big thing, if not impossible. God, with God, all things are possible. With men, not so much. So you have to ask yourself, what does this red heifer have to do with all of this? Well, simply doing this. If the Jewish people are going to go back and they're going to serve their God, and they're going to commune with their God, which they are longing to do, then a third temple has to be built. There's something else that Scripture tells us that's going to happen in the third temple when it's built. It is, by the way, the third temple is going to be built. I can guarantee you that 100% is going to be built. You know why? Scripture tells us that it's going to be built. Scripture also tells us that someone else is going to reside in that third temple, and someone else is going to say something that's going to usher in the war of all wars. And that is the Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot come to this earth and cannot do what Scripture tells us that he's going to do unless a third temple is built. A third temple can't be built unless the ashes, unless there's a priest that can preside over this process. And there has not been a priest that can preside over that process because they have not had a red heifer to do the purification until now. Now we have red heifers in Jerusalem. Now we have the possibility of that sacrifice happening. By the way, it's not just the red heifers. There also has to be a priest worthy enough to receive that purification. In the 2,000 years, there has been a handful, maybe four or five priests that would consider themselves clean enough to do over this process. They have to also run through many loops. And when I say hoops, whatever you want to call it, they literally have to be born at home. They cannot be born in a hospital. They literally cannot have ever been to a cemetery. They can have never touched blood outside of their own birth. That means if they cut themselves or someone cuts themselves and blood is touched, that means they're unclean and they can no longer serve in this process. This is Levitical law. This is Jewish law. These are the ways those priests can do these things. Not only do we have four red heifers in Jerusalem, we now have nine priests who have been considered and by the Temple Institute, the Jewish Temple Institute, to be clean and ready to serve as a priest that can initiate the building of the third temple. Now you have to understand that all of this is going to cause tension, right? If you're a Muslim, and you have your third most holy site built on the dome of the rock. It's built on the Temple Mount. And you hear that the Jewish people are bringing in red heifers. And you know the only place that they can build their temple is on the same place that your temple is built. What's going to happen? Are you going to sit and let it idly happen? Of course not. In fact, we have learned that Hamas has said one of the major reasons why they attacked Israel in October is because their hope was that they would not only kill the nine priests, but also kill the four red heifers that were in Jerusalem at that time. That was one of their hopes. That's why they attacked. One of the reasons why they attacked Israel. One of the other reasons was because Israel was working on a peace accord with Saudi Arabia and the United States, which was a big thing too, by the way. We'll get into that at a later time. There's an amazing tension that's occurring right now. And this already comes on a strain and a tension that's already been in place for many years. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to go to Jerusalem. I have not. Someday, maybe by the Lord's help, I'll be able to see these things. I have friends that have. And it's an amazing tension between the Muslim people and the Jewish people. They live literally right next door to each other. And their holy of holiest places are supposed to be right there, but there's great tension, there's wars, there's rumors of wars, there's all these things that Scripture has talked about that are happening right now in that place. Now, one other thing. In order for the third temple to be built, the third temple has to be built on the Temple Mount, somewhere close to the Dome of the Rock. But in order for the heifers, the red heifers, to be... I feel like I'm back in high school and I'm saying the heifers, right? So I have to say red heifers. I'm sorry. So, in order for the red heifers to be sacrificed, they have to be sacrificed in a location. They can be sacrificed on an altar, but that altar has to be in sight with an east-facing view of where the temple is going to be built. By the way, if you look at your map and you're looking at Jerusalem and you're looking at that east-facing view of the temple is not owned by any Jewish people. It's Muslim territory, 100% Muslim territory. There was never a place, and in fact, they made a point for the people of surrounding the Temple Mount, made it a point not to sell their land to any Jewish people. This was impossible for the red heifer to be sacrificed, for the temple to be built, all these things, because they needed an east-facing view of this way. Now listen, these are, again, thank God we don't have to live by these rules, right? It was impossible until last year. Last year, there was a 3-acre lot that was purchased with an east-facing view of where the temple would be rebuilt, and it was purchased by a Jewish gentleman for millions and millions of dollars. But they now not only have the east-facing temple or east-facing altar, or east, they have the property facing east, but now they have also built an altar in that lot, ready for the heifers to be sacrificed. Now, what do we do with this? What do we do? Listen, when we read these types of things and we see this, this is all, by the way, everything but the Jewish rules and the Muslim rules, everything that we talked about, we just read from Numbers 19. This is scripture. This is in scripture right now. What do we do with this as Christians? We know that in 685, the Dome of the Rock was built on the very Temple Mount where the other two temples have been built and destroyed. We also know that the Muslim people are really against a temple being built anywhere close to that location. And so we have to understand that there is a great divide going on there. But we have to understand that this is just another sign. Does it mean that the Lord is coming back today or tomorrow, next week? No. But what it means is that we have to be aware of that these are course of times that are going on right now that haven't happened for 2,000 years. This is something that has never happened before in our time, in any of our lives here, any of our grandparents' lives. Listen, for 2,000 years, this has never occurred. And so now, what's going on? This is prophecy being fulfilled right now before our very own eyes. But it is, like everything else, just a sign that we must be aware of. Are we nervous that the red heifers are in Jerusalem? No. Does it change my life? No. Does it cause me to dig my head in, or dig a hole in the sand and stick my head in and leave my backside up high and mighty? No. Does it make me cause me to want to run to the mountains and hide in a cave? No. But it makes me go back and go, my old high school days, things that make you go, right? I won't rap for you or sing for you from stage here, but we also should be very aware that times are getting difficult and things like this point to the coming strain and eventually war to end all wars. If the temple is going to be rebuilt, there's going to be some type of skirmish. There's going to be some type of argument. There's going to be some type, possibly a war that happens over that very Temple Mount. What we have to be concerned about, what we have to be aware of, is that when the temple is rebuilt, that's when you have to start looking out. Because when the temple is rebuilt, a time clock begins, and things start happening. And so we must look at this. We must see that, because at some point, the liar of all liars is going to stand in that third temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to come in peace, but he's going to then desolate that location and that place, and desolate all Christianity and all religions. And so we have to be ready for this. We have to be aware of these things that are going on, because that is in where we are at this very day today. So what now? Again, this is another sign to take notice. Times are going to get even more difficult as tension rise. But when the temple is rebuilt, look out. Look out. Some people have said that, and if I did my math correctly, somewhere around December of 2024, January of 2025, sometime before that point, those red heifers have to be sacrificed. Now, does that mean they have to then go and they start building the temple that day? No. But that means those red heifers have to be sacrificed during that time. When that happens, that purification that happens, is going to cause an uproar within the Muslim community. It's also going to cause, it's going to be a great celebration of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are longing for this day to come because they want to be back. Listen, again, we come to church every Sunday and it's a wonderful thing because we leave this place and we can still experience God. We can experience God in our cars. We can experience God in our jobs. We can experience God anywhere we go, because wherever we are at, God is with us. And that's an amazing thing. But for the Jewish people, the only place they can experience this very thing that we experience on a daily basis is inside a temple. And they don't have a temple, and they haven't had a temple for 2,000 years. And so fast forward all of that and think about that for a moment. if you're a Jewish person, you would be angsting, you would be dying to have this temple rebuilt because you want to commune with your God. This is an amazing time that we live in, something that we have never experienced before. Does that mean that any of these four might be found worthy and they might be sacrificed? Maybe. May they be found unworthy? That's also a possibility. May they grow to be an age where they can't do the sacrifice for something? Yes, maybe. That's all true. But all of these things are in place like they've never been in place before. And we must be aware of that. But let me fast forward for a moment. I want to leave that there, and just, I think I've done a good enough job of understanding what the red heifer and why it's so important. But let me go a different way for a moment. Numbers 19, chapter 2, says, "Tell the people of Israel to bring a red heifer without defect, in which there is no blemish, and on which a yoke has never come." I suffer from a Jesus disease. And I'm so glad I suffer from that. But my Jesus disease is that I see Jesus everywhere I read in Scripture. What if... the red heifer was never intended to be for the cleansing of the purification of the priest. But maybe, what if Jesus was our red heifer? Have you ever thought about that for a moment? "Tell the people of Israel to bring you a red heifer without defect, in which there is no blemish, on which a yoke has never come." What that means is that a red heifer, again, we've talked about that, right? But what if Jesus had no defects? Jesus was perfect. He was perfectly man and perfectly God. He was both of those here on this earth. So he qualifies as a sacrifice that has no defect in him at all. The second part of that is that there's no blemish. Jesus was struck by the Roman soldiers, I will tell you that. But he was struck by those Roman soldiers as a sacrifice. Other than that, there was no blemish. He had no blemish in the way he was. He was fully God. That means he was perfect. No blemish. No, nothing at all. On which a yoke has never come. When we talk about a yoke, we talk about being under a command of a person, under a command to do work, under a command to do these things. Jesus was never under a command of anybody on this earth. He was the King of Kings himself here. He chose to do all of the things that he did on his own. No one told him that he had to. He chose to do those on his own. There was never a yoke upon Jesus. Numbers chapter 19, verse 3 says, "And you shall give Eleazar the priest, and it shall be taken outside the camp and slaughtered before him." Do you know this is the only time in Jewish history, the only time in the Jewish temple, the only time in Jewish religion that the priest does not actually do the sacrifice himself? The only time. There's no other place in Scripture where you will find that an animal is not being sacrificed by the priest. Everywhere else, all sacrifices, everything that happens that involves an animal is done by the priest. This is the only time in Scripture that you will find that the priest does not do the sacrifice. All you guys are looking at me with blank faces. So does it have to do with Jesus? Did Caiaphas kill Jesus? Who killed Jesus? The Roman soldiers who hung him on the cross. Caiaphas was there watching as Jesus hung on the cross. And he was slaughtered before the present that day, Eleazar, which was Caiaphas. Numbers chapter 19, verse 6 says, "And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet yarn and throw them into the fire, burning the heifer." Now let me ask you a question. When have you else heard of hyssop? When have you also heard of the word scarlet? When have you also heard of cedar wood? Do you know what the cross that Jesus died on? You know what wood that he was hung on? Cedar wood. Cedar wood was the very wood that they used because they used cedar wood because that was plentiful. The cedars of Lebanon. I meant to ask Lena if you've ever seen the cedars of Lebanon. Are they beautiful? Yes. I secretly long to see that someday just because. But the very wood that was used to hung our Savior, the very cross that was made out of cedar wood. Now, if we read this scripture, we say, and take the cedar wood and hyssop. Where else have we learned about hyssop? Jesus is on the cross and he's dying and he says, I thirst. What do? They take a sponge, they put the sponge on hyssop, they stick it in vinegar and wine, and they give it to Jesus to drink. Now again, I suffer from Jesus disease, and so maybe I'm taking this out of context, but I don't think I am. Throw them into the fire, burning the heifer. Jesus was thrown into the fire for you and I. Do you know that? When Jesus dies on the cross, and we talk about the silent Saturday, right? That's oftentimes what we call about the Holy Week. It wasn't silent in, it wasn't silent down below. Let me put it that way. Jesus was going to town down below. I'll use it in my translation. Jesus goes into, during this time, between the 3 days, when he dies on the cross, he's going down and he's taking the keys of the kingdom. And he's going into Hades. He's going into that place and he's doing his work. But he's being thrown into the fire. Do you understand these very things? I cannot help but read this and see Jesus all over this. Jesus was our red heifer. Jesus was our sacrifice. We don't have to worry about these red heifers. We don't have to worry about lambs. We don't have to worry about slaughtering and getting bloody and being unclean and all these other things, because Jesus did all of that for us. And the Jewish people have not caught up yet. So why do we do, listen, we deal with this today because Jesus was our sacrifice. He was our red heifer, if you will. But the Jewish people are still waiting for their Messiah to come, but ours already has. Ours has already been here. Ours has already done the sacrifice. He's already done on the cross. He's already set us free. He set us captive. We don't have to go to a temple to serve God, because God is set free because of what Jesus did. The veil was torn and God's went out. And now he can reside inside of us and he can be with us and he can be in all of those things. Jesus was all of those things. I want to caution you not to get so worked up in these things. Will these things happen? Yes, they will happen. I guarantee you that a red heifer is going to be sacrificed. I guarantee you that a third temple is going to be built. I guarantee you that a priest is going to be purified. Why? It has to happen because the Jewish people must build the temple. I guarantee all of this happens because that's what it says here in Scripture. If you read your Scripture, you know the temple is going to be built. And the only way that the temple can be built is if a red heifer is sacrificed. So all of that's going to happen. But guess what? I don't care. I care because it's pointing me towards the signs and we're showing us that we're growing another reason why we're growing closer to those end times. But I don't care about the temple being built. I don't care about the red heifer being sacrificed. I don't care about any of that. What I care about is making sure people around me know that Jesus made a sacrifice for them. I can watch the news. I can watch, read reports. I can watch videos. I can do all of those things about the red heifers and the third temple and all of the stuff being built. And all of that is stuff that we have to be aware of. But the truth of the matter is that none of it matters. What matters most is that Jesus already sacrificed for us and we have a job to do. Our job is not to go out and spread the news about the red heifer. Our job is to go out and spread the news about the original sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the people around us. And so instead of getting so worked up about the red heifer, so getting worked up about the third temple, is the sacrifice going to happen, all those things, that should make you go, but that's it. That's interesting. Where's my view now? My view is Jesus still reigns. He already did the sacrifice. And what are we doing about that? What are you doing about that? What am I doing about that? Because listen, this is just another sign. If we're going to be like men and women of Issachar who understood the times, understood the signs of what's going on, and understood all of those things, then we have to understand that the time is drawing near. These are signs around us that is undeniable. You cannot deny the signs that are happening before us, the prophecy that is being fulfilled before our eyes. You cannot deny any of those things. But what that points to is, more importantly, our job and what we have to do today. It's not that we're afraid of what's going to happen. My fear is that we don't save enough people. that the loved ones in my family, the loved ones that live around me in my neighborhood, the loved ones that I interact with at the store and the people that I see don't know Jesus Christ. That's my fear. And that's what we have to do. We have to, instead of pouring our energy and effort into all of these things, let's pour our energy and effort into sharing the love of Jesus Christ with the people around us. It's hard to look at these scriptures and say that these are not being fulfilled. It's impossible. In fact, it's impossible today. This is being fulfilled in our very eyes. And this is just one of many. Pastor Chaz told me a couple weeks ago, he goes, are you going to do this sermon for like years? I think it was something along, I have many stories. Yes, I could. Literally, the signs that are happening before us right now could line. If I did one sermon every Sunday on that, I could continue to preach this. And I'm going to continue. I'm not quitting today with the red heifers, by the way. But you have to understand that there are signs all around us that are happening. But what matters most is, what are we doing with those signs? What are you doing with those signs? And are you prepared for him to come back? Will the worship team come forward, and will you stand with me, please? My question to you, are you more concerned with the end times than you are his time today? Are you more concerned with the signs of the times of the end days than you are with today? Because if you are, you're looking at and you're reading scripture immediately wrong. If you're reading scripture and you find yourself in fear and you find yourself so afraid and so drawn into all of those things that you're forgetting that there is a job to do, then you're reading it wrong. The end times were never intended to scare us. The end times were never intended for us to draw away or to get scared or to run to the mountains or to the hills or to any of those things. The end times were a time frame for us to say, we got work to do, people. We got people to save, and not us. Jesus working through us. Let me make that very clear. We're not saving anybody. Jesus is. But it takes our effort. It takes us not being drawn into our own homes and our own self and being selfish to go out and share the stories of these things. My hope is that today, when someone you run into in the next couple weeks, or you see another video online about the red heifers, you pause and go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being my sacrifice. That I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. And then realize that we don't need to sacrifice a cow. Our Passover lamb, by the way, I believe this is Passover, right? This week, I think it is. Could have been last Sunday too, I'm sorry. But this is the original. This is Passover season, right? Jesus was our Passover lamb. Yes, I know. If you're looking at me weird, we did celebrate Easter a few weeks ago. And yes, you're supposed to have Passover before you celebrate Easter. But the way the calendars worked out this year, Easter was first and Passover was second. Resurrection Sunday, I should say. Not Easter, by the way. But Jesus was our Passover lamb. He was the only sacrifice. And whether it was a lamb and we paint his blood on our doorpost, or whether it's a red heifer and we take the ashes and it makes us ceremoniously clean, it doesn't matter, because he did all of that on the cross. And it only takes, see, we don't have to rub the ashes on our bodies. We don't have to rub the ashes on the altar. We don't have to rub the ashes anywhere. We just have to rub Jesus into our hearts. We just have to accept him into our hearts and say, I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live the way that he tells me to live in the scripture. I'm not going to be worried about any of these things that are going on. I'm going to be worried about, am I serving him? That's the question that you have to be asking yourself. So today, before you leave, can you make a commitment to me? And can you make a commitment, more importantly, not to me, to him, that says, I will serve you because you are my sacrifice. One day, Jesus is coming back. We know that. We don't know the hour of the day, but we know the season is closing. The leaves are turning on the trees. Let me put it that way. My question is, are you ready for that? Has Jesus been that sacrifice for you? because he died on the cross for you. All you have to do is accept that sacrifice. Live for him. Turn away from your life. Die to yourself and walk with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for all the things that you've done for us and that you continuously do. Father, thank you so much that we can look at these signs of the times that we're in and not grow scared, not grow nervous, not grow afraid, but instead grow more in love with you. Jesus, help us to overcome ourselves. Help us to overcome the world around us and see you in everything that happens, Father. You are, Jesus, you are the meaning. You are the reason. Everything in the Old Testament points to you. Everything in the New Testament points to you. Everything in our lives should point to you because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And we deserve that so much more. Lord Jesus, help us to this day to follow you, to not be distracted by these things of the world around us, but to instead understand the signs of the times that we are living in and to draw closer to you. Some of us here in this room or watching at home online may be out of sorts with you. Maybe we have not followed you in the way that we need to, Father. And if that's the case, may we seek you and say, forgive us. Set us free from the chains of the world that hold us down and let us run towards you. Holy Spirit, come into this place and set us free. Every chain break in the name of Jesus Christ. We come against the chains of fear, the chains of depression, the chains of financial disabilities. We come against all of those things and we set us free because you died on the cross, Father. If we stay in those chains, it's our own choice. It's like a dog attaching himself to his own chain. We're doing that if we're in chains. And so, Father, help us to be set free. To know that you're the only sacrifice that matters. Yes, there may be a red heifer sacrifice. Yes, there will probably be other animals sacrificed for the temple to be built. But you are the only sacrifice that matters. May we love the people around us. May we love our community. May we love our neighbors, our family members. And may we share the love of Christ with every single one of them. And may we not only share, but may we see celebrations of people coming away from the sin of their life. Where they not only give their life to Christ, but they turn away, they repent, and walk away. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our hearts. So many years I used to think that that was a prayer that we could just say, but it's not just a prayer to say. So Father, help us not only to say those words, but to have action behind those words as well. To turn away from our sin and to grow closer to you every single day because you protect us, you guide us, you direct us. And you lead us out of temptation. And you deliver us from the evil one. Lord, help us today. If you're here today and you've never said those words, you've never had that action, may today be that day where you just simply go before him and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Help me to make that choice to turn away from my sin, to turn away from my life, to die to myself and to be reborn again in you. Help me to do that today, Lord Jesus. If you're here today and you're suffering through anything, may you use this day today to come closer to him. Father, thank you for all that you're doing, all that you have done, and all that you will do. We open up these altars to you, Father, and say, have your way in us, in this altar of our lives, as we serve you with all things that we do and say. Be sure to give you glory, honor, and praise because you deserve that so much more. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing this worship song, if you'd like prayer, please feel free to come forward. Our prayer team, myself, Pastor Chaz, would love to pray for you.
Lord, I come, I I find my rest in without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my righteousness, oh God, how I need. The sun rises deep, your grace is born. Is round, it's ready to run. And when you run, Lord, I am free. This holiness is Christ in me.
Opportunity to pray with people. It's a beautiful thing. Remember that in the days to come, you're going to hear more about the red heifers. It's going to be all over the news. The tension is going to continue to be building in this area. But may I encourage you to remember that Jesus is the only sacrifice you need. And we share that with everyone around us. Because he sacrificed himself for us. And there's no greater sacrifice than he who gave his life for you and I. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done. We ask you that you just bless us as we leave this place and go out into our communities and our neighborhoods. May we be the model of Christianity. No, let me rephrase that. Father, may we be the model of Jesus to the people around us. May we be who you call us to be, leading us and guiding us in that life and in our lives as we serve you in everything that we do and say. Father, help us to remember that you are truly the only sacrifice that matters as we share that love with the people around us. Be with us, strengthen us, encourage us, give us boldness to speak the truth. As we go out and share with the loved ones and our neighbors and the people around us the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.